From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Jets have been flying low over the central square in Cairo, where protesters have been gathering to demonstrate against President Hosni Mubarak's government. NPR's Saraya Sarhadi Nelson is in Cairo. She says it's not clear what's going to happen next.
We're being told, you can see on Twitter, and I'm getting some reports also via phone, that protesters are being asked to leave Tahrir Square. They're not leaving, however. The square is just as full as when I talked to you a short while ago, but it's unclear what the army is trying to do with this. This is being perceived now as scare tactics, and certainly there is no more cheering going on as there was initially when the jets were flying overhead.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is calling on Egypt to move toward an orderly transition.
Right now, from everything we know, the army has taken up positions. They are responding very positively thus far to the peaceful protests, but at the same time, we have a lot of reports of looting and criminal activity that is not going to be particularly helpful to what we want to see happen, and that has to be dealt with.
Clinton was speaking on Fox News Sunday. The spreading unrest has prompted the State Department to urge Americans in Egypt to consider leaving the country as soon as they can. They're celebrating in southern Sudan today as preliminary results from this month's independence referendum show 99% voted to separate from the north. NPR's Frank Langfitt is in Juba. He explains what led up to the independence vote.
The southern Sudanese fought a civil war for more than two decades with the north. It was Africa's longest-running civil war. There was a peace agreement in 2005 that called for this referendum. And there's a lot of bitterness over the war. The South was raided by Arab militias. A lot of people's villages were burned. They lost family members. The other thing is that they feel that they were neglected economically by the North, that the North controlled all the resources, even though most of the resources, actually oil in particular, are in the South. So they see this as a chance to really kind of claim their own destiny and make their own path in the world.
The Australian state of Queensland is battening down because of a couple of tropical cyclones. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, the storms could bring heavy rains to areas devastated by floods that began last month.
Australia's weather service is warning people to prepare for strong winds and heavy rain from Cyclone Anthony, the first of the two storms threatening Queensland. But they say the Category 2 storm should dissipate quickly as it moves over land. Meteorologists say the second cyclone is more worrisome. They say on satellite pictures it dwarfs the first one. Cyclone Yasi is just off the Pacific island of Vanuatu and already a Category 1 storm. It's expected to intensify and slam into Queensland's tropical coast by Thursday at the earliest. Forecasters expect the system to survive as a cyclone over the interior of Queensland until the weekend, bringing heavy rain and flooding to already flood-weary towns. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. Besides the alert for Egypt, the State Department has issued an alert for Americans traveling to Azerbaijan. As NPR's Carol Van Dam reports, the new warning involves Western targets in the former Soviet Republic.
The security alert issued on Saturday says there is a potential for attacks in Azerbaijan, including attacks against American interests. The U.S. Embassy in Baku says the warning is based on terrorist threat information, but it does not elaborate on the nature of the threat or what terrorist organization or network is behind it. It says that U.S. citizens already in the oil-rich country on the Caspian Sea should remain vigilant, especially in public places associated with the Western community. Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.
Serbia's Novak Djokovic has won his second Australian Open men's title. He didn't have any trouble cruising past Britain's Andy Murray, beating Murray in the final today in straight sets. Murray had been trying to become the first British man to win a Grand Slam tournament in 75 years. He's now lost three Grand Slam finals, one at the U.S. Open in 2008 and last year's Australia. After today's match, Djokovic said Andy Murray has to be disappointed.
It's his third final and he didn't get the title, and you know, it's a tough one. But as I said on the court, I will repeat it again, I really have big respect for him and his game, because I think he has everything what it takes.
For Djokovic, today's victory is his second major championship. He won the men's singles title at the 2008 Australian Open. Murray and Djokovic are good friends and often practice together. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.